pitch the ball to Bell. That's upfield. 40, 45, 50, 45, 40. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Cowboys. What a run.
Kicks it left wing, Lucas. Three-point jumper. Good. 6 seconds. Rebound! Cowboys win! Cowboys win! Oh, the Cowboys are going to the Final Four! Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
Okay, we've got Carson Cunningham on the podcast today, KOCO Channel 5 sports reporter out of Oklahoma City. Good to have you on, Carson.
Appreciate it, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, wanted to have you on, talk a little bit about, I guess, kind of the Oklahoma State sports scene, as that's kind of my bag right now. But I also wanted you to talk a little bit about how you got to the position that you're at right now, and how that, just kind of your path through Oklahoma State to get to being our sports reporter in Oklahoma City.
It's been an interesting ride. I wasn't one of those guys that started out in high school knowing that I wanted to get into TV or media, for that matter. But once I realized I was going to Oklahoma State, my dad got a business degree at OSU, so I just started out doing that because I really had no clue what I wanted to do with my life. And so financial accounting is really the reason I'm in media now, because I was sitting in that class totally lost, going, this is not what I want to do with my life. And I just kind of epiphany and said, well, what makes you happy? And sports has always been my thing, and I was kind of an epiphany, like, well, why don't you go into media? And at that point, I didn't know if I wanted to do print, if I wanted to do TV. So I initially just started out in broadcast journalism major, and then started out, the Daily O'Callaghan came in one of my classes, and you know, the O'Callaghan school newspaper came in and said, we need writers. So I started out doing that. My first beat was OSU Women's Soccer, one of the most fun beats I've ever had, and kind of worked my way up through the paper and eventually became sports editor. And during that time, during the summers, I would go intern at Channel 4. I'd always watched Bob Berry Jr., kind of admired his work, and he took me in as an intern for a couple summers. And then I started really starting to focus on TV in school, and I started working for this website called Palestra.net, and they were actually paying me to cover OSU athletics and do like TV stuff for their website. And I just happened to lose their OU guy, so they sent me out to Arizona to cover the Insight Bowl where OSU was. And OU just happened to be just down the road in the Fiesta Bowl just the very next night. So I was covering both. So this website's like, oh, this is awesome. And then I happened to bump into Bob Berry Jr. at the Fiesta Bowl, and it just so happened their number four guy had left, and he had a spot. And he offered me a job right there, right after Noel Devine had ran for a long touchdown against OU. And the tricky part was I still had a semester left in school, so I kind of worked it out to where 2 days a week I would go to school in Stillwater, and then at five I would work in Oklahoma City, and my parents are from Edmond, so I stayed with them when I was working at Channel 4. And it was a good deal. I mean, I really owe a lot of credit to Bob Berry Jr. for kind of getting my foot in the door on TV. And I worked at Channel 4 for about 2.5 years, and just through that time, my junior kind of brought me along and let me do more. I started out just initially as a photographer, and he initially let me do more on-camera work and more on-camera work, and I worked there for about 2.5 years, and it was going well. And then Channel 9 contacted me out of the blue, really, and they offered me their number three position. So I went there and worked there for about 8 months, and I probably can't get into what all happened there, but we parted ways. And then just luckily enough for me that the number three spot at Channel 5 opened up, so that's where I'm at now. It's kind of been a whirlwind. I just turned 27, and I've already been at the three major TV stations of Oklahoma City. It's kind of been a wild ride, but I'm very happy where I'm at now and have a good rapport with Daniel Holdridge, who's the weekend guy, and Bob Erzik, who's the sports director. So it's been good. And I didn't start out thinking I was going to be in TV when I got to Stillwater, but that's where I ended up. It's been a good journey so far.
So the number three position at Channel 5, does that entail a specific beat, or is that kind of all-inclusive?
Well, I think the title is sports reporter, but I really do everything. Like I shoot video, I interview guys shooting video, and then I also do stuff on camera where I'll do like reports out in the field, and I'll also fill in anchors. So, and then when I'm not doing all that, I'm editing and producing the shows for the other two guys just when they're in. So really it's a jack of all trades position. I do a little bit of everything.
What's your favorite part of it?
my favorite part is going to the games. I mean, there's times when I'm sitting, when I'm like at a Thunder game and I'm sitting on the floor with a camera and I got Clay Bennett sitting behind me. I'm thinking, like, how did I get here? Like, why, I'm getting paid to do this right now. That to me is the ultimate. When you walk into an arena or a big game and you're saying, I'm getting paid to do this. So like going to the games is by far the best part of the job.
Yeah, if Clay Bennett's looking at the back of your head, you're probably doing something right.
Yeah, I'm always afraid to move or do anything out of the ordinary. He might just provoke my press pass right there. So I tried to spill his drinks or anything behind me. So.
That's great. So you mentioned covering OSU girls soccer kind of initially, yeah. I guess, starting out. What's your favorite team that you've kind of been in charge of covering?
That was probably the most fun just because it was my first kind of foray into the media. And just and when you cover the lower level team, when you're covering like, you know, OU or OSU football, you don't really get a chance to get to know these guys. Your access is pretty limited. You don't get a certain amount of time with them. You don't get to know them that well. Covering them was a lot of fun because they were open. They let you do whatever you wanted, and they were really nice, and they appreciated all the support. So that was probably a highlight. But, I mean, I really don't have a favorite team I covered just because of what I said. Just the way the media is now, you don't really get a chance to get to know the teams that well. But as far as memories go, I will never forget the 2007 OSU men's basketball team. I was a beat writer for the school paper. And that was the year they had the triple overtime game against Texas. Mm-hmm. And the game a lot of people don't remember is the game against Pitt right before that at the Ford Center. I thought that was the best game I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And then the next week or so, the triple overtime game happened. So that team didn't end up winning anything, but it was a wild ride of a season. I'll never forget covering that triple overtime game where Durant was going off and Eton was hitting half-court shots. That was probably a highlight, I guess.
Well, was the Pitt game, was that the all-college at the Ford Center?
Yeah, it was the all-college at the old Ford, I guess it's now the Chesapeake Energy Arena, the old Ford Center. And that was just a back-and-forth game. I can't remember. I think Bogan hit the game winner, but it was a wild game.
Well, okay, so like you said, you've been at the three major stations in Oklahoma City. What is your dream job, I guess, in going through all this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously SportsCenter would be one of the pinnacles, you know. I mean, just to be on SportsCenter is like the dream I think all of us have. But I think the number one dream job for me would be Chris Fowler's job on College Game Day. I think college football has always kind of been my favorite sport. And to go to the premier game every single week and be on the campus and get to experience all that would be unbelievable. And plus, Chris Fowler gets to kind of make his own schedule, too. I mean, I'm not saying I'll ever get to that level, but he gets to go to like the Australian Open when he wants. So I'd love to. The host of College Game Day would be by far the best job out there, I think. That'd be great.
Yeah, I feel like you see Fowler like three times a year, and it's Australian Open and Wimbledon and then college football. See, it's like, I mean, it seems like...
Yeah, I think he takes about 9 months of a vacation and then about 3 or 4 months of work, actually, you know, just sprinkled out throughout there.
Okay, so
yeah,
you...
I'll pick and choose events like him.
Yeah, exactly. So you obviously graduated from Oklahoma State, but you are covering, you know, various teams in Oklahoma, such as OU and such as the Thunder. Is it hard for you to remain objective as a reporter?
It's really not. And that was something I was worried about, you know, when I first started. I was like, how is this going to work when I'm, you know, covering OU or, you know, other teams in the state like Tulsa or whatever. And being in the media, it's kind of sad. It kind of like kills your – any emotion you have towards the game, because you're worried about so many other factors, namely your, you know, just the stuff you have to do. Like I covered Bedlam last year and like I hardly even, you know, moved a muscle during the craziest, you know, 9 minutes of football I'd ever seen in my life. Cause I was, you know, trying to make sure I had our tapes were rolling. I had my highlights in order. You know, you're worried about 100 other things other than, ooh, I hope, you know, OU or OSU wins. So, I mean, being in the media, I think Bill Simmons has talked about this before. It's like being in the media kind of kills your fandom almost. It's kind of sad, really. So, I mean, you're worried so much about getting your job done, you're not even worried about who's winning or losing. You're just worried. Basically, you're rooting for the game to be over quickly so we can get on the air at 10:20. That's basically what we root for the most, is a quick game.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect you. I mean, you have a job to do. I mean, obviously, I graduated from Oklahoma State, but I'm never going to let that, you know, affect how I tell a story about a game that had happened. You know, I'm never going to slight OU because I went to school there. I think Bob Berry Jr. is a great example of that because he went to OU and he is straight down the middle. I can attest, I've worked with him side by side. His dad called games at OU for, you know, forever, and he treats them exactly the same, and that's kind of what I strive to do.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, it's funny because you get all these people who are big fans and you know, think that people like you are so lucky because they get to, you know, work closely with the teams and everything, and it's, I mean, you can definitely attest to this better than I can, but it's not really like that. You're not really, do you feel like you almost become, do you become jaded towards sports because you're closer to them, or do you feel like you still have an appreciation of
different sports? I don't think you're jaded so much. I think you almost can't enjoy the game as you would as a fan, you know? Like, you can't just go tailgate and just sit there and just take in the game. You know, you're running around doing 100 different things. The game day experience is 100 times different. I wouldn't say it's jaded my outlook on sports at all. It's just you can't take in a game as you would as a fan. It's just it's a totally different experience altogether.
Yeah, I agree. And that's kind of why I've tried to – I mean, I guess I've kind of tried to create the best of both worlds to where I can still enjoy things as a fan, but also, you know, have this little outlet where I can write and, you know – do podcasts with sports reporters from Oklahoma City and stuff like that. So
absolutely. I mean, Bill Simmons is a great example of that. I mean, he kind of was shunned by the, you know, the mainstream. He couldn't get the beat. He couldn't get a job that he wanted. So he started his own blog, kind of like you did, and built a little following. And that's kind of the new media that we're living in nowadays. Is there's more than one outlet and there's more than one way to do, you know, cover a team. Now there's fans can do blogs, and I think it's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's, you know, if you follow the path from, you know, the 1950s, 1960s up until now, just the evolution, I think, of kind of the sports media role,
it's changing.
Yeah, it really has, and it's developed into this very niche thing that that probably 40 years ago it was so much more national, and it was so much, you know, it was just from a much higher level than it is now. And obviously a lot of that is because of the internet and because of, you know, the ability for us to figure out how to do podcasts and different things like that. But it's just, I don't know. It's pretty interesting. So walk me through this. How do you get to, let's say you do want to get Chris Fowler's job. What's the progression from where you're at now to work your way up to that?
Experience is the number one thing. You know, I'm still pretty young. I mean, but it's like any other job field. You got to have some luck. You got to have some bounces go your way, and you got to just consistently do a good job. I think, you know, you may need to get to that level. You may need an agent or something. You know, I don't have an agent or anything, but yeah, I'm not that level yet. But mainly, just, you know, Chris Fowler is a Colorado Buffalo. You know, he started somewhere, so I mean. Got to work your way up just like any other field, really. Consistently do your work. I mean, it's no accident he's there. I mean, Chris Fowler, he's one of my favorites. I think he does an excellent, excellent job. And he's put in a lot of hard work to get to there.
Did you get to, I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly, but did you guys get to work with them at all when you were at the Ocali and they came to game day?
They came. I didn't get a chance to work with them. That was before I'd gotten into the media aspect of things. I was still stumbling through accounting class at that point, I think. But yeah, they came, and I knew some people that had worked with him and the ESPN crew, and they said just glowing reports all around. Those guys were awesome. So
yeah, they do a great job. Well, speaking of experience, I wanted to talk a little bit more about kind of the Oklahoma City sports media scene. Last week, I believe it was, Gina Mizell. Is that, do we know if that's how you pronounce her last name?
That sounds good to me. I don't know.
Okay. I think she's going to come on a podcast here in the next few weeks. So
cool.
Maybe I'll get a correct pronunciation on her name. But she was hired, obviously, for the Oklahoma State beat for the Oklahoman. Probably a heavily criticized move by a lot of Oklahoma State fans, which I don't think is very fair to her. What did you think about that hire from the Oklahoman's perspective?
Well, I thought it was an odd one. I'll say that off the bat. I mean, it would be hypocritical for me to rail on her experience and her youth, because that's exactly what I was when I got hired by Channel 4. I was young and inexperienced. I think she'll do a good job. But having said that, when I saw who they hired for the OU beat, I mean, that was an unbelievably impressive hire. This guy covered South Carolina. He covered a BCS-level football program. I was like, wow. So I was expecting a similar type hire for OSU from the Oklahoman's aspect, but they must have seen something in Miss Mizell that they liked, and they decided to go with her. I mean, and let's be honest, OSU fans loved Brandon Chapman. And what was he covering before OSU? He was covering high school sports. So there's no way to tell that she won't be the next Brandon Chapman, you know? So
Right. And I feel like
time will tell, really.
Well, I feel like unless they hired somebody like Travis Haney, like they did for the OUB, I mean, Oklahoma State fans were going to be upset no matter what. So, I hope she doesn't take it as a knock against her that the message boards are blowing up.
I think that got people's expectations, maybe OSU's fans' expectations, a little high because he has such a glowing resume. They thought maybe they'd hire someone very similar for the OSU spot.
Right.
But yeah, she's inexperienced, but so was Chapman, and it seems to me the OSU fans really, really liked Chapman and hated to see him go. So Oklahoma's got a good track record so far for hiring. ESPN hires all their riders away, so
yeah.
They got a good track record, so Miss Mizell might be another home run.
Well, now, speaking of ESPN hiring, obviously Jake Trotter and Brandon Chapman, and I can't remember the third guy's name.
Robert Prisbillo.
Prisbillo, that's right. Do you know is there a specific project that they're working on? Or
I believe that they were hired to cover specifically just OU football and recruiting.
Yeah, see.
That's
what I had heard too, but I didn't know. I mean, is that going to be, do you know if that's going to be launched sometime in the next few weeks or?
I don't know. You'd think they want to get it running before football season, but I'd heard mainly is going to be that. Trying to rival, this is bad pun of terms here, rivals. I heard they're trying to go after rivals and cover recruiting. But that's kind of what I heard. And, I mean, they made a statement by hiring all those guys. I mean, all those guys are quality riders.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously Trotter covering OU and Prisbillo doing high school sports. And, I think it's a smart move on ESPN's part to kind of get more into the niche market if they want to be, you know, they do a great job nationally, but I think it's tough for them to beat out, you know, the local beats just because.
Absolutely.
I mean, just because of resources, really.
And that's why I think, like, when people always ask me if local sports will go away, I always say no, because ESPN's never going to be able to give the amount of coverage that OSU fans want or OU fans want, because they got so much else to cover. That's always
right.
Contended that local TV in the state of Oklahoma will always be here because there's such a demand for OU and OSU football and basketball and all the other sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bottom line is ESPN wants to take over the world, Mr. Porter.
I know. It's
kind of a scene, isn't it? You
read all this stuff about, well, we'll talk about this in a minute, but I just saw this stuff with the Big 12 and the SEC, and it's pretty crazy. So you went up to OSU Media Day in Stillwater. Was that the first one that you've been to, or had you been before?
No, I've been to a bunch. I've been to three or four, I believe, just from my time when I was a student and then working in TV. It was a fun day. It was an interesting day. I-35 was engulfed in flames, so I had to kind of take the back roads through to get to Stillwater, but once we got there, it was a good time. Huh? The guys were in a good mood.
Did you have to drive by Langston?
No, didn't have to go that far. I just had to make a minor detour, but I have made the trip by Langston a few times during game days when the I-35 gets too backed up.
Yeah, that's a veteran move. I mean, I feel like the older generation knows about that, but not a lot of the younger guys do. What kind of stood out to you this year in terms of maybe from a maturity level or just the players talking that you maybe hadn't seen in years past from Media Day up in Stillwater?
Well, I'll tell you, I definitely saw a difference. I mean, you know, in the past years they talk about, you know, Big 12 championships, national championships, and when they do, I mean, it's half-hearted. You know, you tell they really don't mean it. This year, I mean, I've never seen an OSU football team that's this, convinced that they're going to win a championship. I mean, Brandon Whedon kind of brought it up, and then I brought it up to everyone else, is that they break every single practice, not talking about Big 12 championship, they break it talking about a BCS championship. They honestly believe they can win every single game this year, and that's something that I've never seen at Oklahoma State, and I'm sure a lot of people haven't either. So that was the main thing I took away, is just the sheer belief, I guess, that they can win every game this year.
How do they break down what do they say when they break down?
Oh, they just, the 1-2-3, I think DCS.
Okay.
Championship,
okay.
DCS is how they break it down. But, yeah, I mean, that was definitely stood out. I could tell right away that these guys, they're not joking around. I mean, the belief is there.
Do you get the same feeling out of Gundy?
Well, Gundy wasn't there. This was the first year that Gundy was not there. I don't know if you heard, his son was in a Little League baseball game and
that's right.
The national championship in Florida, yeah. So he wasn't there. But we've talked to Gundy plenty of times in the offseason. He's the same way. He said it's time to start winning here. It's time to win a championship. He's ready to go. I found that the whole team's along with him. And I was also excited to see the uniforms. That was my first real in-person glance at them. I mean, we all know where we saw them first, but I got to see them. I see them in person for the first time. They're pretty slick. I didn't notice the shiny trim around the neck until I saw them in person.
Yeah, you tweeted that, and it looked. I don't. What is that? Is it like a? Is it almost like a?
Kind of like those that material you see on the shoes and the gloves. It's kind of just shiny, you know, like Nike.
Okay.
Puts out.
Yeah, it looked almost like material. It looked almost like the sticky stuff on the gloves.
Yeah,
I
it's kind of like that. Just kind of like the old Jordans had a bit of the shiny stuff on them.
Yeah,
kind of that stuff.
Yeah. Are you talking about the Jordan 11s?
I don't know. I don't remember what number. There's so many numbers.
Yeah, the Jordan 11s had some of that rubber on there. But did they was it just the oranges that they had out, or did they have the silver and blacks out too?
Yeah, they just had the orange jerseys and the white pants. That's all. I think they're saving the rest for later.
Yeah.
But what stood out to me though is with all the hoopla and hype about them, they're very simple. They're not outlandish like some of the Oregon ones with like the wings or the chrome, you know, stuff on them. I mean, they're very, very simple, which I like.
Well, somebody was saying that we should put pistols on the shoulder pads like Oregon puts wings, and I don't think that's a very good idea.
Well, pistols guy probably thinks that's a great idea. I don't think that's a great idea.
Yeah, free advertising right there.
Yeah, we don't want to get too outlandish with like guns blazing and. You know, Phantom Pete's a good size the way he is. We don't want a big giant Phantom Pete on the shoulders or anything.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Okay, well, last thing, and we'll wrap this thing up, but wanted to go back to, with you obviously being in sports media, talking about this whole conference realignment thing from ESPN's perspective. Is that, you know, you kind of get this feeling that ESPN is in deep with everybody, and not just college football, but just with all these different sports. Do you think that they are too heavily involved from a business standpoint to be able to cover these sports objectively?
It's getting to that point. I mean, it really is. I mean, they're tied with millions and millions and millions of dollars through multiple conferences. I mean, it's almost building to where it seems like it's going to end up to where ESPN has their own little league and they determine the national champion. That's kind of where it feels like it's heading right now. And to be honest, all this conference realignment stuff makes my head hurt.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to get around the fact that A&M's trying to get away from a rival who their fight song, there's more mentions of Texas and Orange than their own school. what are they going to do when they play in the SEC? So I don't know, but to answer your question, I think ESPN's, they're walking a fine line here. I mean, they really are. There's multiple leagues that they're tied in with, and that's a major, major conflict of interest. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. I was the one contending that the way the Big 12 got saved last year was ESPN because they had just bought the rights to the DCS. And well, if we had, you know, multiple 16-team conferences, the DCS would have ceased to exist, and their million-dollar contract would have been torn up, basically. So
right.
Who knows how much hand they had in that at all? I don't know. I mean, I think Chip Brown might be the only one that knows anything that's going on with this stuff. But
do you guys, does Channel 5, do they struggle with that in terms of you're trying to objectively cover these teams, but you're also trying to maintain a good relationship with, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder organization and the Oklahoma State Athletic Department? Is that, I mean, do you sense tension there, or is that not really an issue?
No, that's not an issue at all. I mean, we get along great with OSU, the Thunder, everyone. I mean, they realize we have a job to do, and we do the best we can, and we never have any issues with that whatsoever. I mean, as far as conference realignment goes, it's hard to cover. It's hard to tell people what's going on, because it changes every 5 minutes, and you don't want to, you know, upset anybody with your coverage of the story. But I think we do a good job in that.
Yeah. Did you get assigned to the Gundy story about the construction worker?
I did not, but I did read that, and I did laugh. that was interesting. I could not believe it when I read that. I would have loved to have a camera on that, I tell you that. That could have been another YouTube gold right there.
I think the funniest part is just that it happened on, or the story came out, I guess, on his birthday. And it was just,
yeah.
I mean, it was just the irony of the whole situation was pretty thick.
Yeah, it was bizarre. It's like they were just waiting for that. It happened like in March, didn't it? Didn't it happen like back in March? And
yeah,
now
it was.
Got brought up on his birthday?
Yeah, it was months ago. I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of. I mean, I guess that'll eventually all play out, but it just...
Well, I wrote on Twitter that Gundy bought himself 10 more years with the OSU fan base. With that
yeah. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right with that. So
I got a question for you, man.
Okay,
I want to ask you a question. Where do you... You obviously built a good little following here with your blog. I mean, where do you see this going, and what do you want to do in the next couple of years?
Yeah, you know, we talked earlier about how I've really tried to continue to be a fan as well as provide kind of an outlet for other fans to come and talk, you know, the way that Oklahoma State fans want to talk about, you know, what we like, what we don't like. And you know, I feel like in sports media sometimes in our goal to be objective, we don't really... You know, that's not always what... I mean, it's good. It's great to have the news and to have all those things, and fans definitely want that, but they also want an outlet for what we're always talking about, you know, kind of to our friends and stuff like that. So I feel like I've really tried to provide that. Now, monetarily, I haven't really seen a whole lot of benefit there. I think that I would love to... maybe build that into something bigger in terms of maybe a blog network, something like the Big Lead has built. You know, they make a lot of money. I'm part of their network and they do a great job with it. Now, do I want to center that around the Big 12 conference? Maybe not, but,
that wouldn't last too long.
I don't think so, but just creating a solid network of blogs that have good writers and that put out quality content, I think would be something that I'd be really interested in. You know, you've got something like SB Nation that does a good job, but I feel like it could be done better. And if I was, you know, leading the way in that, that would be, I think that'd be fantastic. I think long-term, I don't know, obviously Sports Illustrated, Grantland, the Simmons site on ESPN are kind of the, you know, the pipe dreams, I guess, if you will. But either of those, I think, would be fantastic. But at the same time, I really enjoy being able to be in control of my own content and to, you know, to not have a boss really other than myself and what my readers want to read. So it's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. I've hopefully created a better vision for where it's going than I had last December whenever I started it. I'm excited about covering the first football season.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I'm excited too. I remember, your listeners probably don't know this, but you walked into the Ocali one day when I was a sports editor, and I knew you could write a Bill Simmons level or type column, but I knew if I gave it to you, all my writers would quit and leave me, so I couldn't do it. So I knew you had the talent, and it's cool to see you kind of realize that through your blog.
Well, I appreciate it, Carson, and really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
No problem, man. Anytime.
Okay, we'll do it again sometime.
Sounds good.
Okay, Carson Cunningham, Channel 5 sports reporter, and we will talk to you guys later on.